Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. On today's show, Tom Theobald and I will discuss the impact of the government shutdown and what this means for the protection of our pollinators. Good afternoon, Tom, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, June.
Tom, could you please share with our audience a little bit about yourself for those who are just tuning in?
Well, sure. I'll try to be brief. I've been a small-scale commercial beekeeper for 38 years and was one of the founders of the Boulder County Beekeepers Association. I've been involved in some of the national and global issues over the past several years because of my concerns about the bee losses that we're experiencing. So I've been one of the players in this drama for a few years now, and here we are today to discuss what's happening with the Environmental Protection Agency.
Now, currently in the United States, the federal government has shut down. And as the result of the shutdown, many government agencies and services have temporarily closed. When it comes to our main focus, which of course is protection of our pollinators, how does this shutdown impact pollinator protection?
Well, in ways that you wouldn't expect unless you were more intimately involved with what's going on. What we've seen primarily from the EPA is a series of defensive actions trying to justify their previous inadequate performance. Propagandizing is the word most commonly used. So what we're seeing is a definite silence of propagandizing. In many ways, it's kind of refreshing.
So does this mean that because they are officially shut down that they can do nothing?
Well, I hesitate to be too critical because I think most of the EPA employees want to do the right thing. And I think the scientists have done their best to raise the red flags, to issue the warnings, but they've been almost totally overridden by a management that seems to be determined to only serve the interests of the large corporations at the expense of mankind and the environment. And that's the larger dilemma that we're faced with. As important as the bees are, they really are just an indicator of much, much larger problems.
Well, isn't it the job of the EPA, otherwise known as the Environmental Protection Agency, to protect all pollinators?
Their primary responsibility, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but it's to protect mankind and the environment from unreasonable risk. This is the agency that acts on our behalf to assure that these chemicals that are coming into use are safe. It's the viewpoint of many that they have failed to carry out that responsibility, and among other things, it's led to the crisis that we see today with honeybees. And yes, you're right. Their responsibility is to protect all of the pollinating insects, and in the beginning, when that first was proposed, it was believed that because the honeybees are managed and monitored, they would be the best indicator species. So they're the ones that have been focused on, but the EPA's responsibility is much broader than just the honeybees.
Thank you. Can you discuss briefly the situation with the EPA as far as what apparently seems to be their defense of supporting industry over pollinators?
Boy, you know, it would take hours to explain that in any detail. I just don't know where to begin. One of the stories that's unraveling here, and one of the things that I've been involved in almost from the beginning, is with a product called clothianidin. It's a neonicotinoid, a systemic pesticide, and it's the systemic pesticides that are apparently causing us so many problems. But clothianidin was released to the market under a conditional registration, and the condition was that a life cycle study be completed within the first year. That languished for years while clothianidin was on the market on millions of acres of agricultural land. And in 2010, Bayer, the owner of clothianidin, came to the EPA and asked for approval on two additional crops, mustard and cotton. And this led to the review of what had been called the life cycle study, and the EPA scientists concluded that it was invalid. Well, this was the condition under which that product was registered, and it should have made the product registration invalid as well, but it didn't. And they went ahead over the objections of the scientists, and they approved. They not only left the product on the market, but they approved it for cotton and mustard. And cotton is important here because 2 years later, another chemical was proposed called sulfoxaflor. Similar to the neonicotinoids, a systemic pesticide, many, many unanswered questions, and the EPA was proposing to release it to the market with a conditional registration. Well, it was about that time that they came under increasing criticism and in fact, a lawsuit which called into question their misuse of the conditional registration procedure. Well, what they decided to do with sulfoxaflor was just bypass the conditional registration completely and give it full registration with all of those unanswered questions remaining. Now, this is a slick little bureaucratic move because what it means is that had they given it a conditional registration, they would have had to set conditions, which they could have been expected to follow and monitor. If they give it a full registration, as I understand the law, they don't have to review it again for 15 years.
So what is the point of having a conditional registration if they are not going to be thoroughly testing these new chemicals to see what the environmental impact, the health, human health impact, and overall impact globally when it comes to allowing any of these chemicals to be applied?
Well, the criticism was that they'd misused the conditional registration option. When it was first proposed, it was expected to be used in minor cases where there might need to be label corrections or something like that, not serious scientific questions that went unanswered. And fully two-thirds of the chemicals that came onto the market over the past 15 or 20 years came onto the market under conditional registrations. So the criticism has been that that has been misused and that they have not carried out their responsibilities to adequately test these chemicals before they come into common usage. A fundamental failure on the part of an agency which is supposed to protect mankind and the environment against unreasonable risk. And again, I think the employees want to do the right thing. I think what we have here is a massive management failure that has gone unaddressed.
Well, perhaps this little forced vacation, if you will give the powers that be some time to reflect upon past decisions and, as they move forward, make better choices instead of just succumbing to the needs of industry as opposed to the needs of our pollinators. Tom, could you share with our audience a little bit about the lawsuit that you're involved with against the EPA? And can you also explain what the current situation is regarding that lawsuit in conjunction with this shutdown?
Well, the lawsuit was filed in March of this year, and it's been portrayed in the media as generally as a request to ban several of the neonicotinoid systemic pesticides. And while that may be the result of it, that's not really how I read the lawsuit. Basically, what's being requested here is that the courts find that the EPA has not been following the law, that it has not followed the law in adequately assessing the dangers of these chemicals before they're released to the environment. Now, depending on what the court finds, that could result in withdrawing these products from the market because they have never been properly registered. But basically what the lawsuit requests is that the court find that the EPA has not followed the law. And currently it's in that stage of legal wrangling. The first response was from the EPA, and they filed a motion to dismiss the case. And I guess this is kind of standard procedure. I'm not a legal person, but they filed a motion to dismiss, and now the plaintiffs have a certain period of time in which to answer, and I think that time is up very shortly. And then there'll probably be a response again from the EPA. Some of the chemical companies, Bayer and I believe Syngenta and CropLife, have entered into this suit as what is called interveners. So they've entered into the suit on the behalf of the EPA, which is an odd combination of forces here. Anyway, that's where the lawsuit stands at this point, and probably will linger on for a while.
Well, it's quite interesting that a government agency that has been designed to protect the environment, human beings as well as animals, et cetera, would create an ally in industry when their job is to regulate what industry does. So it'll be interesting to see how this lawsuit evolves.
Well, they've painted themselves in a corner, really, by virtue of a whole series of bad decisions in service of the corporations and in disservice to the people in the environment that they are charged with protecting. So they can't begin to admit to anything, or their house of cards begins to come tumbling down.
Well, unfortunately, the whole world is watching what the EPA does, and as we see Europe aggressively taking action and enforcing the ban on neonicotinoids, it will be interesting to see if the EPA does anything at all.
I think the European order goes into effect December 1st.
Thank you. All we could do is hope for the best. And in the interim, could you just give a quick update with what is going on with the commercial beekeepers in America and how this year's honey crop looks?
Well, the honey crop is going to be probably among the lowest ever. What the state of commercial beekeeping is you have to read between the lines a little bit. If you talk to your commercial beekeeper friends, they try to put a rosy picture on this. What's been reported in the media is that we lost 30% of the nation's bees last year, and that's accurate, but those are only the winter losses. What the public doesn't understand is that through the course of the season, there's an almost complete turnover of the bee population for the commercial beekeepers. They're splitting the successful hives. They're losing hives because they're having queen failures. The net result is that over the course of the season, they haven't lost 30% of their bees. They've lost 60, 80, 90% of their bees, and they've worked very hard to keep the numbers up and replace those losses. The challenge here is that if we take the beekeepers out of that equation, and we're just about to do that, what is the future of the bees? What is the future of the bees if we no longer have the beekeepers there keeping them going every season? It doesn't look good, and we need to face these issues. These are large, large societal problems that go far beyond the beekeepers.
Unfortunately, it's not just here in the United States. It's a global issue.
Yes, it is. Anywhere where we see this kind of industrial agriculture, we're seeing these same problems.
Tom, we will have to keep revisiting this over and over until we come to a point where either it's going to be devastation globally or the powers that be that are in charge actually do what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, stay tuned because it's unfolding rapidly.
Tom, thank you so much for your time. And folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic Bee Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.